Welcome in to another episode of Chiefs Focus Live. We have a full show today. We're going to finish our final thoughts on the Bills Chiefs. We're going to spend a significant amount of time where I talk about how I was right, and JP's just going to get forced to listen. And we'll finish the show off with a little AFC West expansion. My name is Quentin Morris. This is running the show in the background. And now a guy who wants to be positive, still with a significant amount of piss and vinegar, it's the old man, JP. How's it going, bud?
You know, I have had a day of logging off of Twitter because of all the 0-1 and 2-win teams running their mouths about things that have been said. ML Football put out some stats with some images, and they're correct. I mean, they're not wrong. It's pretty sad what went on in that game, but there's nothing you can do about it now. Hey, what's up, Will? It's very frustrating because when I look at the stats from that game, and I guess this is what's more frustrating about it, is the fact that it was so even keeled for the most part. And also the fact that, you know, the excuse that the NFL has called, that was a point of emphasis this year, offside, offensive offsides. But, and they said they've called 11 of them this year. They have. Two of them were wide receivers. Two out of the 11. So that leaves nine that were offensive linemen. Okay. That excuse went out the window. Then Carl Sheffers came out and he said that he calls that every single time, no matter what. Then we find a clip of the Detroit Lions doing it, which was the last game he called the prior week, and he didn't call it. And then when you watch the Miami game, Waddle is in the exact same position that Tony was in, and it wasn't called.
Yeah, the more and more screenshots that keep appearing on throughout this NFL season, the more frustrating it seems to get, and it was already pretty damn frustrating to begin with.
Exactly, and my problem with it is that it's the consistency thing. It's not just about the Chiefs. Although we are the second most penalized team in football this year, and although Taylor was targeted at the beginning of the year, it's frustrating for everybody. It's not just us. It's every team. Let me take that back. Let me rephrase that. It's every team that the NFL makes money off of are the ones that are suffering from this shit. And he said the lie detector test determined that's a lie. Absolutely. It's frustrating. So, but let me give you something really quick. Let me just go over this. 2017 final. Bills, 327 yards. Chiefs, 346. Passing yards, 209 for the Bills, 264 for the Chiefs. Rushing yards, 118 to 82. Of course, we didn't have Pacheco in. Yards per play, 4.5 for the Bills, 5.6 for the Chiefs. First downs, 21 each. Third down efficiency, 6 of 15 for the Bills, 6 of 12 for us. Fourth down efficiency, 1 of 1 for the Bills, 0 and 1 for us. Total plays, 73 for the Bills, 62 for us, which even goes to show you more that we're a better football team because we played less plays, had more yardage, and really just outplayed them in most aspects because they had to put more plays out. Sacks, the Bills allowed 3, we allowed 1. 4 punts apiece. Penalties, here's the kicker. 4 for 35 for the Bills, 7 for 45 for the Chiefs. 7. Fumbles lost, the Chiefs lost 1, the Bills did not. Interceptions, they both threw an interception. The time of possession in this game was within about 2 minutes of each other through the third quarter. It was the fourth quarter that killed us. And by the time it was all said and done, the Bills had 35 minutes to our 24-39. So 35-21 to our 24-39. When people say, oh, it's, you know, it doesn't matter. It does matter because when it's tight games like this and you got two teams that are playing neck and neck through the entire game and you have a bad OPI call on Kelsey again, you have, which was within 3 yards, you have the holding call on Chris Jones, it was never called. You have the Kadarius Toney situation, which was an all-time play that would have went down in the history books that Carl Sheffers took away on a lie, because he's never called that fucking penalty. If you go back and you look, he's never called a wide receiver. Himself or his crew has never called a wide receiver for encroachment, ever. Ever. There was only one other crew that did it this season, besides his this time, and that was that guy that can't grow a beard. Brian something or whatever his name is. Don't know, don't care. The little bastard that did our game the week before. The short little guy. So that's what makes this the most frustrating. Now, the other thing I want to bring up before we get into this is everybody is slamming these wide receivers and everybody is going after Mahomes because of what he did. First of all, that's the first time we've ever seen Mahomes do anything of this nature, ever. And rightfully so, everything boiled up over the season. The last 2 weeks were the most horrendous calls of the season, and we had some really bad calls during the season. He usually never, ever says a damn thing. He may throw his hands up, but he doesn't say anything. He just moves on and wins the game. There's things that have changed this year that I think people are forgetting about. And it's something that it's not on the field as much as it is behind the scenes. And the behind the scenes changes have made it difficult for these wide receivers that we had last year that did so well to not do so well. We have a new wide receivers coach. And I'm, from everybody I've spoken to, they're not real happy with him. Sky Moore is not picking this up. I'm trying to just say this in a calm manner. Everybody's going after MVS. You can't go after a guy that is breaking off of a route to try and help your quarterback out because someone else ran the wrong route. MVS doesn't run wrong routes. He has a route tree of about three routes. So it's not like he runs the wrong route. When you see him break off or stop short, it's because he's trying to help his quarterback out because the original play broke down. Why? Because somebody ran the wrong route. There's an issue internally that is not being addressed, and that is the fact that I don't think this wide receiver coach is working very well with these wide receivers. If he were, things would be different. The other thing that I wanted to bring up, and I thought about this a lot over the last day or two. We know how Andy Reid runs an offense. Quentin, he's done it for years. He plays a very vanilla offense for the most part throughout the season. Picks and chooses his battles when he needs to bring out the big stuff. Switch the page. And then he saves it for, you know, the latter half of the season if he needs it. And if he doesn't need it, he saves it for the playoffs. Everybody's complaining about Tony still being out on the field. I agree with that to an extent. If you're gonna potentially play the Ravens or Miami in the playoffs, do you really want to show them what you're holding back? If you ran all of your plays during the regular season, everybody has film on you. Everybody. There's no point in doing that. If you got all your players that are cohesive and doing their job out on the field every week, week in and week out, and I'm guilty of saying, why the fuck haven't they had Noah Gray out there more? You know, why haven't they had this guy? Then I started thinking about it, and I called a couple people, and it really kind of sunk in. You don't want to show all your cards, because if you do, they have film on you when you do play them in the playoffs, especially a team like the Ravens that you haven't played this year. Miami, we played them very vanilla and beat them. They don't know all of our cards. So if you look at it from a different perspective, and Andy's sitting back going, okay, we know that we have these packages that are going to work very well together. A Noah Gray, a Justin Watson, a Travis Kelce, a Jared McKinnon, a Pacheco, and even if you want to put Tony in that mix. And then also, you know, you can throw in Rishi Rice, and then Richie James. Why would you ever in a million years show everybody your cards up front? That's what gets you beat in the playoffs. That's why we've been successful in the playoffs. So if you look at it from a different perspective and you go, okay, wait a minute. If Andy's actually doing it the way he's done it in the past, and these guys every week that aren't seeing the field as much are practicing certain plays in certain packages, knowing that their time is coming, whether it be week 14, 15, 16, 17, or into the playoffs, they know it's coming. So they're getting themselves prepared and in perfect condition to be able to go out there and execute during the time when we need them the most, whether it's on the road or it's an Arrowhead Invitational game. We need to really look at it from that perspective instead of worrying about what they haven't done, and let's worry about what they are doing. The one thing that I will say that it's done that I think is really a detriment to us to some degree is it's worn our defense out, because the defense has been on the field. Other than this game, this was the closest game at 9 minutes differential that the team has had all season long, except for the Chicago game. And I think the Raiders game. Every other game, the defense has been out there 65-67% of the time. So it's worn them down and it's caused injuries. But I can understand, given the fact that we have a new wide receiver coach, new wide receivers, what's up, Philip? And some guys that don't have the skill set to be able to go out there and do it week in and week out, why everybody's upset. Does the NFL have to fix this problem? Yes, they do. With the calls. That cost us a game. And in retrospect, it cost us 2 games. But regardless, it is what it is. We have to play above it. And really what we have to do is just go and say, fuck it, let's just win it all. And that's the mentality that they have to have now. They have to win out this. These last 4 games are going to dictate where they end up in the playoffs, because there's no doubt in my mind that the Ravens are going to get beat by San Francisco. They're playing in San Francisco. They're going to get beat. I have no doubt. I mean, I will put money on that right now. They're going to get beat. Miami and the Ravens play each other. So somebody's canceling the other one out. So there's at least 2 losses right there that we need. We don't have that schedule that they have, with the exception of the Cincinnati Bengals. And I say that only because their fucking backup quarterback is playing better than Joe Burrow did all season long. So you have to be very careful and pick and choose your battles of what packages you're going to put out in the regular season that you don't want anybody to see during the playoffs, whether it's 3 games or 2 games in the playoffs. That's what you have to do. And if that's what it takes to get where we need to get, I'm all for it. That's all I got to say about this. Now we can move into the show. And whatever you want from this, you go ahead.
You know, I think in terms of the Bills game, there's not a lot more that I really want to say or need to say, really, than what I said on Sunday after the show. I mean, I predicted the Chiefs would lose this game, so it wasn't really that surprising. I think just the ending of it still sucked.
Did you think they were going to lose because of that, though?
I mean, turnovers and mistakes, you know, penalties.
They had 1 turnover, though.
So, I mean, that's how Kansas City continues to lose games, period. I'm not really surprised. by that. I think that there's a lot of positives that come out of that game. Defense played very, very well, especially after those first two drives. That second half, the Bills got the ball to the 50-yard line twice and were stopped. I mean, the defense kept you in the game when your offense, once again, was spinning its wheels and not doing anything. Your defense kept you in that game. Nick Bolton came out in the second. He played like 90% of the snaps coming off of a wrist injury. So
he still had an arm wrap on.
Your defensive line, despite not getting many sacks, they were putting Josh Allen under extreme duress the entire game. So this, there's a lot of good to take away from it. Once again, a number one receiver in Stephon Diggs. Where was he? He wasn't even on the field. Legarius Sneed was shutting him down.
Yeah, I think he only had like 26 yards maybe or something. It was very minimal. It was under 40 yards, if I'm not mistaken. I could be wrong, but I know he didn't get anywhere near his normal yardage.
Right. So you had your dual running backs of Clyde Edwards-Helaire and Jerick McKinnon, like, played well, you know. And I know that Clyde Edwards-Helaire is a guy that a lot of Chiefs fans just want to move on and forget about. But, you know, Pacheco was hurt, is hurt, and sort of that next man up mentality. And he played well. He had a couple of good runs. Did he break one out for a 65-yard touchdown? No. But you know what? He kept them ahead of the chains. I mean, he had
a few times 4
yards,
did.
5 runs, 5 yards, 6 yards. I mean, he was moving the ball. So there was a lot of good things to come out of this game. It just, the ending just sucked. And there's no way to put flowers around that. There's no way to make it, you know, less painful. It just sucked. And take the good with it and move on. You know, we're going to New England, the worst offense in the NFL, arguably only better than the Panthers, who aren't even going to have a first-round pick this year. So you're moving on to a team that you know you can beat, and maybe it's a get-right game, but we'll talk about that game on Thursday.
And that was my point, though, Clinton. That was, real quick, I don't want to interrupt you, but that was my point about picking and choosing your battles. Okay, you've got the Patriots coming up that you don't need to show all your cards to. You can go out there and play like you did against the Bills and beat them.
Yeah,
100%. As long as you don't have, you know, as long as you don't have a bunch of terrible calls.
You're then, facing Bailey Zappi.
Yeah, I mean, who the fuck is that? But anyway, you know, after that, you know, you've got who is it? The Raiders right after that?
Yeah. Then Bengals, then Chargers.
Okay, so you got the Raiders, which we know we can beat. Their team is going to die on a hill, just like they do always do. The Chargers are completely out of it now. Their own fucking quarterback is, I mean, he's out for the year now.
Yep, and we'll talk about that during the Westward expansion.
Exactly. So that's what I mean by picking and choosing your battles. The only team that you have to go and actually show something with a little bit, I think, is going to be the Bengals. The one thing I will say is the Bengals have not faced a defense like ours. Even though ours is a little banged up a little bit and a little tired, we're still better than 30 other teams in this league right now in defense. They have not faced a defense like ours. So, yes, that kid's doing a great job. He's out playing Burrow. I mean, he's put up more points in the last three games than Burrow put up in 6. So, and Burrow, you can see it in his face that he's scared. He just got paid $275 million to have a rookie outplay him. That proves he's a system quarterback.
All right, I'm not going there. I'm not.
He's a system quarterback.
No, we're not. No.
Think about it, Quentin.
No.
Look at all the weapons. Think about it. Look at all the weapons that Cincinnati has right now.
I didn't think this is the conversation we'd be getting. Don't make me do this. Don't make me the Burrow defender.
Ask one question. Answer me one question. You said the same thing about Brock Purdy.
Oh, don't that make system,
a wait a minute.
Burrow to Brock Purdy.
That, no, you said that Brock Purdy was in a good system and anybody could look good in it. Well, you know what? That's because he has a fucking phenomenal set of weapons wrapped around him. What does Cincinnati have? A phenomenal set of weapons wrapped around him, and their rookie is outshining their starter.
All right, this is a 5-minute.
That's my only point.
Because if I don't put a time limit on this shit, we're going to spend the next 40 minutes, and I've got a whole thing that I'm gonna talk about.
That's my only
point. Okay, 5 minutes. We're 20 minutes and 37 seconds into the show. So when we hit 25:37, we're done. We're moving on.
you're still talking, so you're just adding time.
This, whenever that time comes up, run the banner. Even if I'm in mid-sentence, just run the next banner. Okay. That is not fair. One, first of all, we saw Jimmy Garoppolo in that exact same system, and we know Jimmy Garoppolo is not a good quarterback. And then Brock Purdy comes in and is also successful in that system. So I don't think it's a fair comparison.
But a better version of him. But yeah, okay.
We've seen Joe Burrow be successful even before he got his wide receivers group there. Right, even before Jamar Chase was there, that first year he was there,
he was injured, he blew his knee out. He didn't play. That was rookie year.
Yeah, he played. He didn't. He played a couple of games before he blew his knee out.
Yeah, but he wasn't great. It wasn't
and
like
even
he,
your
saw
and the
kind of
I just this just watching Josh Allen or just watching Joe Burrow, like it is not the same when Jake Browning is in there.
I think he's getting a lot better.
Now, Jake Browning, I'm not taking anything away from him. I think Browning has come in. A lot of these backup quarterbacks, Danny DeVito up in New York, right? There's what Joe Flacco's been able to do in Cleveland. Like, there's a lot of these guys that have come in and played in systems and have been successful, and it's great. But Burrow is the second best quarterback in the NFL. Okay? Like, we're not having this conversation that there's going to be like a quarterback controversy.
There's not going to be. I'm not saying that because they're not ever going to walk away from a $275 million quarterback. What I'm saying to you is that you have a backup quarterback that never took a snap in the NFL that is outplaying Joe Burrow did the 6 games prior to Joe Burrow, and he was 100%. It wasn't his thigh. And he still couldn't put up a shit ton of points against decent football teams. And this kid is going out there with poise, and he's dropping dimes all game long. And I watched all three of his Cincinnati games, and he's playing with poise, balance, and making good decisions on the field. And he moves very well. All I'm saying to you is that
making good decisions is key. I think that, you know, not making stupid decisions like that rookie mistake is important.
Correct. Correct.
I think that it proves that they should have played their backup when Burrow was hurt to begin with, and that they should have stuck with Burrow. They should have just went to their backup because, you know, maybe I don't remember how Burrow got hurt, but, you know, was it because he couldn't move around in the pocket that much because his leg was hurt, and that's how
he got hurt in preseason. He got scared.
He got hurt in training camp with his calf, and then then he had the finger get hurt, and that's what took him out. And it's just like, you should have just played your backup. But Joe Burrow is the second best quarterback in the NFL. And I'm standing by that statement.
He may be. All I'm saying is that when you look at their system and you look at this rookie quarterback that has stepped up like no other rookie quarterback has, even though some have stepped up well, Joe Flacco's 38 years old. Okay, I mean, he's not a rookie. But when you look at the rookies in this league right now that have stepped up, he's really stepped up. Jake Browning is playing lights-out football right now, and I can't complain about how he's playing the game with that system because that is a very quarterback-friendly system.
Last thing I'll say, because we're about to hit our minute here. The last thing I'll say is we saw – Joe Burrow drag a nobody team, into the playoff conversation. And we saw him drag a team with the worst offensive line, damn near NFL history, to a Super Bowl.
True.
So
with a very, very, very team-friendly schedule. But, yes, you're right. He did.
So, but now we're – that's right, ladies and gentlemen. I was right, and that's okay. It's okay. You can all breathe. You can all just accept it. I will take my credit later. Just kidding. I will take my credit right now. I'm not going to talk about how I was right on my pregame predictions. What I'm going to take my credit for is Shamari Connor. I was right about Shamari Connor. Did you see how well he played in that game?
Great.
Shamari Connor awesome. Is the real deal, ladies and gentlemen.
But nobody
he is going
with you
to be
that.
A big part of this team moving forward. Shamari Connor is the next guy to step up in the system that nobody talked about, nobody heard about. Back end pick. Nobody cares about Shamari Connor. Ladies and gentlemen of the studio, of the audience, tell your friends about Shamari Connor. Tell them how good he is. And in the next, 12 months, they'll be like, damn, you really know your football. Yeah, that's what's going to happen. Shamari Connor played
well. But
nobody
argue about that.
He played a ton in that dime setting, right? Because he really came in and replaced a lot of the stuff that Cook was doing. And that's exactly what he did. When he was in college, he played a ton of safety and corner. And he really fell right back into that role. You know, when you get that opportunity to sort of take your step, I know that he's played before. He's been a big special teamer this year. But when you have an entire week, an entire game plan to figure out what role you're going to be in for a game, that week of practice of specifically, hey, you're going to be the guy this week. You're taking reps with the ones. That is so much different than just being like, hey, Cooks just got injured. Connor, grab your helmet. You're going in now. It's so much different. And I think with that little bit of extra time, it really allowed him to get his head on straight and to be like, this is my job. I'm doing it. Shamari Connor's the real deal.
I agree with you. And nobody took that away from me. Nobody argued with you about that. I mean, we were pounding the tables for him at the beginning of the season simply because he's such a dual threat player. He did so well in college playing both positions. He actually played high school both positions. And he was also a wide receiver, if I'm not mistaken. But he's a very, very talented guy with an extremely high football IQ. And he's going to do huge things with this football team moving forward. There's no doubt about that. I mean, and look, you said something about Snead. I'm going to say this again, and I'm going to beat the fucking tables for it. We have to figure out how to re-sign him. Because he shut down yet another top wide receiver in this game. He shut his ass down. All the way around. Shut him down. And that's hard to do. And between him and McDuffie, they have shut down every top wide receiver in the league for the last 2 years.
Has a cornerback duo ever gotten first team all pro? Like both your one and two corner, both been first team all pro, both of you.
That I don't know. I mean, that's something I would have to look up. I don't know that.
I can't remember a time where there were clearly two number one corners on the same roster playing as well as these two guys. I'm serious. I can't think of another time
where you had two totally
dominant corners.
Yeah, I don't remember in all the years I've been around this league, I don't remember two corners ever playing as well as those two do.
Because even
you always
like
had
the,
one, and then you had a guy that was okay.
That's good. Yeah. Like even in the Seattle, right? The Seattle days, right? When they had Richard Sherman, the other guy wasn't a Richard Sherman. Like he was fine. He wasn't a great guy, but it was because of the Cam Chancellors, the Richard Shermans,
correct,
and everybody else around it made that guy's life a little easier. I just can't remember a time where you had two dominant, truly number one corners on both sides. And I think it's because you have McDuffie, who's just post injury last year, after he came off that hamstring injury, has just come in and proven why he was picked 21st overall, why the Chiefs jumped in front of the Bills to get him, why they traded in general just to go and get him. Remember, this is a guy that you don't have on your roster if it weren't for the Tyreek Hill trade.
Exactly.
This is it's been very impressive what he's been able to do. And then Snead, I think it's that, like Terrez Paylor, the late great Terrez Paylor once, you know, said over and over again, the contract year is undefeated, right? You're either going to succeed or you're going to fail. And Snead has taken this opportunity to succeed. This is by far his best year. This is the most man coverage he's ever played in a season. And it has just been impressive to see how he continues to just stop true number one wide receivers. If we go down the list of number one wide receivers in the NFL, other than what? Ja'Marr Chase. And he's going to get that opportunity in a couple weeks. Kansas City has faced all of them. And
we faced Jamar Chase twice.
Shut down all of them.
Yeah, we actually shut down Jamar Chase as well. If you remember last year, we shut down Jamar.
Yeah, I'm talking about this year. Kansas City has faced number one wide receiver this year. I mean, Devontae Adams, Justin Jefferson, now Stephon Diggs, Tyreek Hill. Right. I mean, just go down the list. A.J. Brown. I mean, he has taken every opportunity, and he hasn't had a game where he's just sitting on the side, and it's just like, man, if this corner duo continues to keep it up, there's no reason not to, man.
So I meant to ask you guys earlier, do you see the look on Josh Allen's face when Tony scored the touchdown? Yeah. It was like he didn't even know how to. In fact, I was looking at his face when we were marching down the field, and it was almost like I read his lips and he said, "Here we go again." And when it was called back, that's when his excitement was there, because he knew he won the game then. I agree with you, Will. He knew. And just really quick, for all the jackoffs out there that are saying Mahomes went and whined to Josh Allen, you know they're very good friends. And he can say what he wants to him. Now, should he have said it on the field? Maybe not, but it's a heat of the moment type of situation. Mahomes wouldn't have said that to any other quarterback. They are good friends. So, you know, that's kind of a stupid thing to bring up. But the people are still rambling about that shit, too. Anyway, regardless, this defense is ignorant. I mean, it's unbelievably – it's a 360 spin compared to what we've seen over the last – really, since 2018. We have yet to have a defense that started this strong early and continued to stay this strong. And that is a testament to Spags and also Joe Collin. And then, of course, the drafting of great players. But to have two corners that complement each other as well as those two do is unheard of. And the fact that they can do it alone. A lot of times they're out there on an island and they're still doing it by
themselves. Yeah, that's what I mean. They've been playing so much man coverage. Kansas City is one of the top man coverage defenses in the NFL. And the fact is that it's not burning you. Like there's some teams that'll just play man coverage because they need to go after the quarterback or they're worried about the run. And so they're forced to play man coverage. Kansas City is choosing to play man coverage because you have the ability, the talent to back it up. You're challenging these guys, and week in and week out, they continue to succeed and accept the challenge. It's crazy.
Yep. And I knew, you know, I tell you, we brought this up on prior shows. I knew this defense was going to get gassed. It kind of showed up in that Raiders game, the beginning of the Raiders game. It showed up. You know, we were down early then, and I thought, oh, shit, here we go again. And then last week, down early again, and we weren't able to overcome it because of the obvious reasons. What's up, man? And again this week for obvious reasons. But at some point, like I said earlier, you got to pick and choose your battles. And I believe that's what Andy's doing. Because we've seen glimpses of what this team can be when the right package is on the field. So, and it's not just against bad football teams. Miami's no slouch. I mean, they're the highest scoring team in the league right now. And we shut them down to 14 points. I mean, 14 offensive points. That's what they scored, which is unheard of. So, I'm not worried. I'm pissed more than I am anything else. I do believe, like you have said, that we should have brought somebody in and I'm talking about the beginning of the season, or even at the trade deadline, because at this point they probably would be acclimated. I think we should have brought somebody in. It's too late now. Even if we went and grabbed somebody off the street, by the time they get acclimated, it's not going to do a bit of good. You can go grab a Jarvis Landry right now. What good is it going to do you?
Yeah, and I would say about I think one of the things that we forget as fans sometimes is that it takes two to tango, right?
Yeah.
Like you could say that, oh, I want to go and trade for this guy, or I want to go trade for a wide receiver. Well, somebody has to be willing to trade you a wide receiver, you know?
Exactly.
And I know none of them got moved. So I don't think any of them were available during the trade deadline. So,
and when they were, nobody wants to trade with us.
It's one of those things where it's like, takes two to tango. And if one's not available for a price that you can afford, whether it's resource or salary cap wise, then you can't do it. And that's just the way that it is. So,
and you're right. And we've noticed, we've said this since the 2019 season. It has been extremely difficult for teams, for anybody, for us to get anyone to trade with us. Nobody wants us to get any better than we already were. And then we go out last year without the offensive firepower that we were used to having prior to that and won a Super Bowl. So now it really makes it difficult for anybody to want to trade with us because they know that we have the potential to be a Super Bowl team every single year. So it's very difficult to get anybody to trade with us. I mean, we've had a couple of good trade partners with the Giants, Minnesota. We used to really trade well with the 49ers, but that kind of ended. And we traded well with Seattle, you know, but nobody wants to trade with us anymore. He said, give Ross the reps. Yeah, and that's another thing. I want to bring that up really quick before we move on. So Goodell finally decided to let Ross off of the exemption list. But there's a caveat to that. He did not go against the Chiefs salary cap, and he is actually a free agent. So we have the opportunity to re-sign him or not. They are going to re-sign him from what I understand. They're going to put him back in the fold. Will he be out there this week? Probably not. But they're going to give him a week to get acclimated again. But from what I understand, they are re-signing him. I do believe he does deserve the reps because he can be that deep threat guy, that guy that nobody really thinks about. He had to hold 12 reps before he got injured. I mean, before he got suspended. So it's not like we really got to see a whole lot of him.
Do I need to repeat the things that I've been saying for like, you know, months going back to the offseason, or do you think that people know how I feel about that? Because I can repeat it. I'm very open to repeating it.
Go ahead.
How about this? It's not happening, bro. It's not
going to. You don't think he's going on the field?
Sure. At the same level that he was before he got suspended. You know, he'll get like 3 reps, and when he gets onto the field and he's out wide, mm-hmm. and Kansas City's on the 5-yard line, I can just see you, JP. You're pointing to the screen like that meme where guys, there he is. He's on the screen. There he is. And then when the ball gets thrown to the other side of the field and Noah Gray catches a touchdown pass, you'd be like, damn it. Should have gone to John Ross, despite the fact that he's got double coverage on the opposite
Justin
side.
Ross. Let's get it right.
And Ross. So that's the way it's going to be. Will he get a catch or two? Yeah, he'll get some catches. But I've got a bet with one of my friends, and I've got a 30-rack of Miller Lite sitting on it, that Kadarius Toney will finish the year with more fantasy points than Ross will. So I'm.
Well, you weren't really strong with that fucking.
Yeah.
Miller Lite bet.
I was betting everybody. I was like, anybody willing to give me a bet about how mediocre to bad to low the statistics are going to be, then I'm taking you up on it because.
But you also said Ross, that about Rashee Rice too.
The hype for Ross was overblown, out of the window. The expectations were insane. It was never going to happen. And here we are. And my argument for Rice, I see what you did there. My argument for Rice was just I didn't think the opportunities were going to be there. I knew the talent level was there. I didn't know that the entire wide receiver room would just catch on fire and we'd have to turn to a rookie. So I was never questioning the talent there. I was always just questioning the opportunities.
Well, I think a lot of that had to do with the fact that, you know, Andy and everybody came out and said Tony was going to be the number one wide receiver, and nobody assumed that Rice would be. I did say, and I will toot my own fucking horn about this, I did say that Rice would move up on the depth chart, and he would be number one, number two by the end of the season, and that's basically what's happened. So I will give myself credit for that. That's all I can give myself credit for. I truly believe that if Ross wouldn't have gotten suspended, we would see a lot more of him moving down the stretch. The suspension killed his season. There's no doubt about that. The fact that they kept him on the exemption list a week after the Chargers were dropped didn't help much. You know, that just basically took 7 weeks out of his season, which was bullshit. So it is what it is. What are you going to do? You can't change it. And, you know, all the while, Von Miller had a warrant out for him. He went and turned himself in, posted bond on the same thing, a criminal warrant, a three-time offender, and was out there offsides chasing down Mahomes. So, anyway.
Let's move on to our AFC. We've got 20 minutes left in the show. Let's move on to talk about the rest of the AFC West with a little AFC. Okay, so AFC West, we go in alphabetical order because otherwise I'll forget a team. So let's talk about the Broncos and what they did. They defeated the Chargers last week, 24-7. The big news coming out of that game has absolutely nothing to do with the Broncos, but like you brought up earlier with Justin Herbert having season-ending injury on his finger, one of 10, I presume. And Broncos moved to 7-6 and are one of literally five or six other teams in the conference with a 7-6 record. Now there is talk about the Broncos trying to steal the AFC West and blah, 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 blah. Look, I think that the turnaround that the Broncos have had on defense is impressive.
It is.
On the other hand, they were on a historic pace for being the worst defense in NFL history. So they were never going to be that bad as they were at the beginning of the year. And I think that we're going to see a return to the mean coming up soon. I still believe that Russell Wilson is probably his peak at this point in his career, 224 yards, a couple of touchdowns, an interception. Cortland Sutton continues to prove that if he was on a better team, he could be a better wide receiver, 3 receptions, 62 yards and a touchdown. The Broncos are a mediocre team that have gotten hot and good for them, but they're not a threat to any legitimate playoff team in the AFC.
No, they're not. Will, do we think the Broncos will be good next season? I don't know. I can't. I mean, honestly, that's a really tough question because they're kind of in cap hell and they have a lot of players that are coming up for contract. They still have to pay Russell Wilson.
Who's their quarterback? That's the question. Because
that's the question. Because really, he's bottom, 10 in the league as far as quarterbacks are concerned.
What, 9-7? I mean, is that what good is too? I guess we need it. Is like good like where they are now? Because like I would say, okay, this is like are they playing like a good football team now? Yeah. Like I would say the Broncos are playing like a good football team. I think that there's just more. There's going to be a regression to the mean here. You beat a team that has been on a hell of a downfall when they lost their starting quarterback, a guy named Easton Stick, which is the most Madden made up randomized name of all time. Easton Stick. So, like, bravo, I guess.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I just like seeing the way the Broncos play football. They're playing like a good football team right now. They're 7-6. Okay. Like let's not freak out here. All right.
But you're right. And we also have to look at their strength of schedule in those games that they went on a run. Other than beating us by a couple of points 2 weeks after we just played them, they played nobody. The Jets, nobody. The Giants, nobody. The Chargers, again, really nobody. So it's not like they've beaten some perennial team. They've really beaten the best team they've beaten was us, and they barely did that. So I agree with you. They are going to go on a downhill spiral. I don't know what their remaining schedule looks like. If you do, great. I don't really care to follow them that much. But I will say this. I did say that they would probably be second in the division this year, and you hated me for it, but they are going to be second in the division. So it is what it is. They didn't look like it at the beginning. I mean, there was no doubt about that. They did not look like they were going to get out of, if they were lucky to be winning four games. Yes, Brandon Staley is definitely getting fired. This is his last season.
I hope not.
The Chargers. It is. There's no doubt.
The Broncos face the Lions on Saturday Night Football, which is just weird to say.
Three games on Saturday.
So they'll take on Detroit, and I expect that game to be won by the Lions. Closer than what a lot of people will think, but you know,
he said, "Oh, I like him because he sucks." I mean that's the truth. I mean, he does suck, and it's always nice for us to have a shitty coach, you know, coaching players, but. They'll fire him. There's no doubt. He's on the hot seat, and there's no way he's going to be back next year. It's not going to happen. There's other coaches in line for that job. I've even heard John Harbaugh. If he doesn't get a deal done with Michigan, he's going to go there. So, but it definitely, I mean, I hope it's not Harbaugh, to be honest with you. I don't want Harbaugh in our division. He's going to make it tough for us. He just is. He's good. But who's next? Raiders?
We've got the Chargers, which is funny Chargers. Because everybody forgets about the Chargers. Said earlier, Justin Herbert suffered a fracture to his index finger on his throwing hand. I assume he's right-handed, like most people are. So yeah, on his right hand against the Broncos. So they slide down to a record of 5-8 on the year. They're basically out of playoffs. I mean – now,
yeah, right, they're gonna make it.
So Chargers are falling apart. This is a team led by a guy named Easton Stick. I mean, I don't know what else.
That's as bad as Dick Trickle.
Yeah, I don't know what else you want from me here. Now the Chargers are continuously a team that, what have we talked about for literally years, is a team that gets overhyped, gets killed with injuries. And as the year goes on, they show who they truly are. Do you guys think the Chargers will cut Mike Williams and Keenan Allen? It's hard to say because if they're getting a new head coach in, you know, it's going to be, in theory, his team. The real question is, do they fire the GM? Because I think that they've done a piss poor job of building this team. Because they have refused to move on from players and have signed old players to fat That's contracts when they shouldn't have. I think the Khalil Mack signing is just still crazy to me. The Chargers continue to lose their star players, and this is the brightest of all the stars.
I agree. They were going to get rid of, the Keenan Allen thing was kind of a weird situation because I thought him and Mike Williams thought they'd be gone this year, but it didn't happen. So I don't see how they can hang on to them. I really don't know if – are we going to replace Connor Embry? I have a feeling yes. But – I don't see how they can sustain. And then I really don't understand how Justin Herbert is not pounding the tables to get the fuck out of there. No matter what it takes. Just get out, move on. He needs to go to a better football team, a better ran organization. He's a better quarterback than what he's portraying to be. So they're going to probably lose out this season. Their record, I mean, their next four games are not going to be easy. And I don't see them winning any of them. I really don't. So it's just going to be interesting.
I don't think that even next year the Chargers are going to be any good. Even if they get a new head coach in there, I just think that it's crazy to think that a team with such a talented quarterback continues to underachieve in every way. But, I mean, that's That's the Chargers for you, right? I mean, that's the way they've been basically since I've been alive. Whether you're going from most of my life, Phillip Rivers has been their quarterback, but even before that, with the Dan Fouts days and that short stint with Drew Brees, right? Like, constantly underachieving and not doing anything with a lot of talent they've had on the roster.
I agree. Now, he said, I wish Greg Lewis was still here. He had a great – yeah, I mean, it would be great. You know, again, you know, some people get promoted and some people move on. I don't know why he made a lateral move. I really don't understand that, but it is what it is, because that's what he did. He made a lateral move. I wish he was still here as well, but when he could have stayed and got another ring is what it is. Maybe he wanted to get out of the shadows too. Could have been a similar situation where he wanted out of the shadows. You know, it's hard to advance when your coach is Andy Reid. It's hard to, you know, even though coaches have come off his tree and done very well, certain coaches have not. And maybe he just wanted to get out from underneath the shadows of Andy Reid. I don't know. I wish he was still here as well. But nothing we can do about that right now. I do know this. Don't be surprised if Mike Kafka doesn't show back up in the Chiefs building next year. And I'm going to say that for one reason and one reason only, because Brian Daboll is going to put all the blame on him and he's going to get fired. That's what's going to happen. That simple. So, with that being said, we got the Raiders now.
Yeah, the Las Vegas Raiders had a thrilling 3-0 loss over the Minnesota Vikings. This game was tied 0-0 with 2 minutes left in the fourth quarter, and the Raiders lose. Defense. Talk about a defensive this game was so stupid. I mean, Josh Jacobs had 13 carries for 34 yards. Aiden O'Connell didn't crack 100 yards until the third quarter. I mean, it's stupid. I'm sitting there watching the ticker at the bottom and I'm like, please, for the love of God, can we? I hate ties, especially in football. They screw everything up. Yeah. If you're going to tie, I need it to be like the Carolina Panthers and the Chicago Bears, right? I need it to be two teams that will never sniff the playoffs. And so I don't have to do any mental gymnastics to figure out playoff seeding when we're having discussions about football teams. I don't need the Minnesota Vikings, who are fighting for a playoff spot, to have a tie on their record. So, I've come up with a rule. If you have a 0-0, I'm serious. If you have a 0-0 score before this 2 minute warning, or really like with 5 minutes left in the game, you both should just lose. Like, it needs to be one of those situations where you're playing so bad, none of you deserve to win.
Kind of like when you were in Little League and you were down 15-6 and it was like the fourth inning and you only had 7 innings to play. They just called it.
Yeah. It needs to be like that for both teams. Like, you guys are playing so badly that there needs to be a phone call from New York and you're like, just shut this shit down. This is so bad. We're flipping to another CBS game. That's it. Both teams lost. I don't care. There's 7.5 minutes left. Close it up. Everybody go home.
Yeah, I'm sure somebody out there wants to watch a rerun of the Golden Girls, so let's just put that shit on and move forward.
Oh, my God. 3-0 in 2023 when kickers can make 60-yard field goals and you're in a fucking dome and it's 3-0? Are you kidding me?
Did you hear the one excuse? I had to die. I was dying. One player for the Raiders – said, was it the Raiders? I can't remember which one it was. One of them said, well, you know, for some reason, it seemed like it was really dark in that dome.
You know why? Because you play in a goddamn Roomba.
Yeah. And the reporter said, okay. Hey, he didn't know what else to say. He just said, okay. And he goes, well, you know, sometimes that affects the way you play the game.
Oh, my God. Could you imagine if this was a prime? Could you imagine it's like a Thursday
night football game? Oh, my God. That would have been locked out. Could you imagine
if this was a Thursday night football game? It's 0-0 with 2 minutes left.
Amazon lost like game? $80 million on that game.
Is the game recap like 30 seconds long? It's like them just walking to kick the field goal. Is that the game recap?
It's when like your commercials are making more money than the football game. That's pretty fucked
up. It's the one Aiden O'Connell interception and then the Vikings kicking a field goal. That's the fucking recap for this game. What a garbage game. I can't believe people paid money to go to that stadium and sat their asses in the seat and watched a 0-0 game until 2 minutes left in the game. I can't believe that.
You know, 30 years ago, people would have said, one hell of a defensive performance by both teams. This isn't 30 years ago. That game just sucked.
It sucked. That would have
been
a
blackout so quickly 20 years ago. It would have just been a blackout halfway through.
I can't believe this game. I mean, it blows my mind. Look, the Vikings Raiders defense is like decent, but damn, Aiden O'Connell, congratulations on really showing your true colors here. What's crazy is that technically the Raiders are in third place in the AFC West.
That's pretty insane to think about. I mean,
I really need them to finish stay in last there. Place.
They're, it's not going to happen.
I know. Because the Chargers are going to finish in last. But the Raiders are in third place. That.
Yeah. And here's the sad part. I think everybody's hopes and dreams of Adrian Pearce taking that team over next year is probably just went out the window. I mean, they have not played well past that first game. And then we stomped a mud hole in them. And then they put a performance up like that. I mean, they've lost three straight. And they've consistently gone downhill each game. They can't score any points. A fucking shutout, and the other team scored 3 points. I don't know if
the Minnesota Vikings scored the same amount of points as their hockey team did.
Hey, man, I know I've had a lot of concussions, and I know my memory's not that great. But I got to tell you, I don't remember a game that ended like that in the last 20 years. I saw a 9-0 game. We did see that a couple of years back. Scoring. I understand. But that's insane to think that. And that was honestly one of the best teams in football playing one of the worst teams in football. And the best team in football that day just happened to couldn't get in within field goal range. And that was the Bucks led Tom Brady. You know, Tom Brady led Bucks couldn't get into field goal range. So they were playing the lowly Saints at the time that couldn't get out of their own fucking way.
Yeah.
Very strange. Very strange. Very, very strange indeed. Phillip said, like you said, JP, if we can win the next four games, we'd also need the Ravens to lose two of their last four games and the Dolphins to drop one of their final four to get to number one. Yeah. that's where it needs to be. We do have the tiebreaker over the Dolphins. So the one good thing about that is that the Ravens and the Dolphins play each other. So somebody's getting canceled out there, which is nice. We know one of them's going to lose. So there's at least a guaranteed loss going our way. The Ravens, again, play the 49ers. I don't know the rest of the schedule for Miami. Do you know the rest of the schedule for Miami? Can you look it up really quick?
I can.
Because I see two losses with the Ravens.
I know they've got the 49ers. I'm pretty sure they've got the 49ers and the Cowboys to finish off the year.
Oh, they're fucked. Let's
see here. They've got Dolphins, Cowboys, Ravens, Bills.
Okay, so there's two losses. So that's for Miami, right?
Yeah, Miami goes.
Miami's going to lose to at least.
Jets visit the Dolphins. Cowboys visit the Dolphins. Dolphins go to Baltimore and the Bills. Go to Miami.
I hate to say this, but that could be three losses right there for them.
It could be.
And the Ravens definitely have two losses in them coming up. There's no doubt. Look at their schedule. They don't have a slap schedule right now. They're playing two divisional teams and the Niners out of the four games. They're going to lose two of those games. I have no doubt in my mind they're going to lose two of those games. So we could very well get, and we have, luckily enough, we're playing four backups. And the only backup that makes me a little nervous at all right now is the Cincinnati Bengals backup. I have to be honest. They don't have the greatest defense. That kid hasn't faced a defense like ours, but still, I mean, you got to go in there with your A game. It's that simple. You got to play Cincinnati, you know, with your A game because they're playing well. Now, if he goes on a, if he loses the next couple of games and is on a shit streak, I'm not so worried about it. But as it stands right now, that's what we have to have. Hey, man, they all counted us out. I remember in the 2019 season when everybody said that we weren't going to get the one seed. Everybody said we weren't going to get the one seed. Maybe it was the 18 season, I'm sorry. We were not getting the one seed. We were not going to host that game at home. My uncle argued with me and said I was fucking crazy. There was no way the Chiefs were going to host over the Patriots that year, and we did. There, mathematically, it was almost impossible, really, for us to get the one seed. And we did at that point during the season. Because I think we went 12-4 that year, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
And
Kansas City still can do that.
Yeah,
they can still be a 12-win team.
But you know what the great part about this whole thing is, Quentin? Even if we don't host and we don't get the bye week, the one thing that we have going for us is that we always play better on the road. Always. I don't know why that is, but with Mahomes, I do know why it is, because he likes to embarrass people in their own house. We play better on the road. He finally admitted it. I didn't know if that was ever going to come out of his mouth. I remember saying this back in like 2020. I said, man, why are we always playing so much better on the road? And you're right. Mahomes does have a chip on his shoulder. He's got a lot to prove right now, and he wants to prove it. But man, he plays, they're dominant on the road. You know, they embarrass people. So if we have to play on the road, it is what it is. That'll be a great test. And God forbid for the rest of this fucking league that's been trashing us that we make it to the Super Bowl this year. Because to be honest with you, what I said about the Eagles, that everybody said I was fucking crazy, they've just lost two in a row by three scores. Plus, I am not crazy. I saw their regression. I knew this was coming. I saw it during our game. And if we wouldn't have fucked up, we'd have beat them by three scores. We beat ourselves during that Eagles game. They didn't beat us. We beat ourselves by making giant, huge drops and mistakes. That's where that downfall came. A lot of other games just like it. But that one there, we could have easily won if it wasn't for the mistakes on the offense. They have lost two games back-to-back by three scores plus.
They've gotten wrecked.
Wrecked. Their historic defense isn't historic anymore. It's been exposed 2 weeks in a row. Actually, 3 weeks in a row, because we exposed them. They are not the football team that everybody thought they were. And I promise you, if San Francisco stays healthy, when they get into the playoffs, the Eagles will go down against them if they face them. The Eagles will probably get beat prior to that. But I'm just telling you, they are not the football team everybody thinks they are. And it sucks for one reason and one reason only, because I really like Jason Kelce and I kind of wanted him to go out on a high note and maybe make the Super Bowl again. It's not going to happen. Not going to happen. No way. No way they're going to make that turnaround that quick. They got the Cowboys to face in the playoffs, maybe. If they make it that far, they got the fucking 49ers to face in the playoffs. If they make it that far, the Detroit Lions are better than them. I'm sorry, but they're all better than them. Right now, if you look at the four teams that are the strongest in the NFC, they're number four. It's that simple. and they're just, and they lost a couple of players again this week. They're not going to make it.
I mean, they are a defense. It's the defense that's the problem for them.
Them and scoring. Weird year. But they haven't been scoring either. They're not putting up 30 points a game now. They put up 30 points a game when they're playing subpar football teams. But they're not putting up more than 20, 22 points, 24 points when they're playing decent football teams. Look what they did against our defense. They barely beat us because we just – our defense got gassed because they were out on the field for 45 of the 60 minutes of that game. Or they wouldn't have beat us. It's that simple. I'm telling you, their offense isn't as good as everybody thinks it is, and it's been figured out. And Nick Sirianni, I think he was crying on the sidelines after that ass-whooping the Cowboys gave him. Because he didn't think that – after that 49ers game, he didn't think it was going to happen again. And it did. And I think he was tearing up again. He was crying. I think he went in the car and he cried. That's what he did. And sat in his car and he cried a while. I'm glad he did. He deserves to cry. He's not a head coach. He's a hype man. That's all he is. He's not very good at that either. With that being said, I don't know what else to be. What do we got? Anything else?
That's it.
Anything else at all?
Nope.
All right. Well, we appreciate everybody for joining. We are going to do a midweek show tomorrow on PSF. If anybody wants to join, please do. Download the app. Pro Sports Fans, that's what it says. Pro Sports Fans when you go on your app store. It's free. You don't have to, doesn't cost you anything. And then just join Chiefs fans. Get live interaction. It's a lot of fun. Thiz is always on there with me. We get Boo Boo Smith that comes on. Phillip's always on there with me every week. It's a lot of fun. Quentin, for some reason, I don't know what's up with him. He just doesn't want to join. I don't know what's wrong with him.
But it's because my takes are so hot. You know, I got to let you guys breathe a little. You know, y'all need some space, okay?
Three days you need in a to come row. In and that, just give us some of those
that's
hot takes, man.
That's too much
takes,
for
man.
You. That's too well, much for the audience. Well, then do the game. You know?
Do the game. Jump on during the game. It's
I'm like a I'm like a veteran in the NFL. You know, I got to have my veteran off days. Like, I'm still here, but like in spirit.
In spirit. That's what it is, huh? Well, I will say this. Jump on during the game. It's a lot of fun. You get to see a lot of interaction with the fans. It's a blast. With that being said, we appreciate everybody for joining. We'll talk to you again on tomorrow night on PSF, Thursday night back here on Chiefs Focus Live. Peace out, everybody.